welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Crime in this hour, later on Counterspy from 1949. But first, a broadcast of Big Town with an episode called The Poultry Racket, heard on CBS on October 14th, 1938.
From Hollywood, California, the makers of Rinso, America's biggest-selling packaged soap, present a new series of thrilling, exciting dramas of life in Big Town, starring Edward G. Robinson with Claire Trevor. In the story of Big Town, Steve Wilson, the managing editor of the Illustrated Press, is played by Edward G. Robinson. Lorelei, the society editor, is played by Claire Trevor. Our story opens in the offices of the Illustrated Press. Steve and Lorelei are talking.
Oh, now, Steve, I know perfectly well the only way I'm going to get you to take me to see Big Town University Pay State College next Saturday is by starting today. Now, you will take me, won't you?
Lorelei, State College is 130 miles from here.
Well, I haven't seen Pender play once this season. Now, don't you think it's the duty of a society editor to see all the something or other star backfield man play football?
Well, 130 miles is quite a drive even to see Penta play.
Oh,
Lorelei, I can't take a whole day off just to see a football game.
Well, did you ever take a whole day off to go fishing?
Oh, that's different.
Yes, you're right. Fish don't play football.
Now, the longer I live, the more I realize that the weaker sex never weakens when they want something. But I'll make a bargain with you.
What?
Week from Saturday, I'll take you to see Big Town play Langford Tech if you let me have
it. Bush, come in here. Do you know what's happened?
What?
Well, Mr. Wilson has promised to take Miss Kilburn to a football game.
Well, congratulations, Lorelei. I didn't think you'd ever...
Never mind, Butch. What have you got on your mind?
Luigi Torelli, the fellow that got knocked for that hit-and-run driver.
Well, we gave it a front-page box in the last edition. You saw it, didn't you? Or isn't the Illustrated Press your favorite paper?
But, Steve, there's something funny about it.
Hey, Putz, I am glad you came in. I want you to go down to the city council meeting this afternoon. I think there may be fireworks.
Look, Steve, will you listen to me about this accident? I tell you there's something screwy about it.
Hey, you're just as persistent as Lorelei. Now, what makes you think there's anything more to it than just a hit-and-run case?
A couple of things. Do you happen to know what business this Luigi Torelli was in?
No.
He was in the poultry business.
Oh.
I went down and checked, but there's only a couple of witnesses. One of them wouldn't talk, and the only dope I could get from the other was that Torelli was hit by a couple of guys in a black sedan when he went out to lunch.
But what's so suspicious about the fact that he was in the poultry business?
And here's something else that was funny, Steve. After I left the South Side, I went up to the police emergency hospital and asked Doc Williams about the poor guy.
Well, he hasn't died, has he?
No, but he was delirious. The doctor told me that when he was out of his head, he kept mumbling, "They did it. They did it. They said they'd do it."
Do what? You think that he meant they deliberately ran him down?
Why not?
Well, that's a novel idea. Have you seen Torelli?
No.
Where is he now?
They took him over to Central Hospital.
I see. Well, Foots, go back down to the South Side and talk to his family. See if anyone has been threatening Torelli. Cover every angle you can think of. I'll go over to the Central Hospital.
Okay, Steve.
Well, Galahad, have you found another dragon to slay?
Well, the Foots' guess is right. The poultry racket just made a bid for his third victim in a month.
Oh, but, Steve, poultry. Things like chickens and ducks and turkeys. Somehow they don't go with thugs and gangsters.
Don't be naive, Lorelei. You've been on this paper long enough not to be amazed at anything. Now, look here. The retail prices on poultry have jumped 10% in Big Town in the last 3 months. Now, why do you suppose that is? Where's that extra 10% a pound going?
Steve, if you know your groceries, you'll find the prices on many things have gone up.
Yes, I know that, but there's no excuse for the rise of poultry prices in Big Town. No legitimate reason. I checked on it. The poultry dealers aren't making any more profit. Shipping rates haven't gone up. Retail overhead is exactly the same as it was.
Well, then what's the answer?
Well, there's only been one change in the whole retail setup. 3 months ago, a Poultry Dealers Protective Association was formed. They've got a fancy office down at the State Building with nice gold leaf lettering on the door.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. After all, dealers and other businesses have organizations.
Yes, but this Poultry Protective Association was not organized by the dealers. It was organized for them. It's a racket. A new racket that's just getting started. It's not only taking millions of dollars and nickels, dimes and quarters out of the pockets of every man, woman and child in Big Town, but it leaves honest shopkeepers, decent citizens of our community, at the mercy of hoodlums. Remnants of some of the old mobs we helped smash.
You seem to be well informed on this subject. Why haven't you done something before
now? Because I haven't been able to find out how the mob operates. The poultry dealers won't talk.
I suppose they're scared to death.
Yes, and so long as decent people will refuse to talk, crime will thrive. Oh, but Caesar's ghost here. I sit schmoozing with you when I should be on the job. Can't find out about a racket while talking to a pretty girl. I've got to get to Central Hospital.
Well, you can't get rid of me. I'm going with you.
Okay, I haven't time to state any of the 16 reasons why you shouldn't. All right, grab your hat and come along.
dealer's in this room, Mr. Wilson. I must ask you to be careful. He's very weak.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll only ask him a few questions.
I'll wait here in the hall, Steve.
All right, Terry Locke. Hello, Torelli.
Who are you?
I'm Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Illustrated Press.
What the hell do you want?
Well, I want to have a little talk with you about your accident.
Well, what do you care? I'm nobody.
Well, you're a human being. You happen to be in a business that's had a lot of accidents lately.
I don't know what you mean.
Now, you know what I mean, Torelli. You know that within the last month, two other poultry dealers have had accidents. One stopped the bullet, and the second got in the way of a bomb. Now, you just happened to get run over by a hit-and-run driver.
No. No, no. It was an accident, I tell you. Just an accident.
Now, look, Mr. Torelli, I'm here to help you. And all the honest poultry dealers in Dicktown.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I...
Torelli. Torelli, what are you afraid of?
No, I don't know nothing. For myself, I'm not afraid. I know that maybe I'll never get up from this bed again. But please, please, I got my wife. My brother Tony.
Yes, but you're not helping them by keeping quiet. If anything happens to you, your wife and your brother will have to carry on your business. They'll be up against the same setup that put you here. Now, would you tell me this much? Are you a member of the Poultry Dealers Protective Association?
No. Why do you ask me that?
You wouldn't join, would you? Because you found out it was just a racket. Isn't that it?
No. No, I don't talk. I don't talk, I tell you. I don't want no more trouble. No. No more trouble. Please, go away. No more.
Please, I think you've got to go now, Mr. Wilson. All right, Doctor. Poor devil. I'm sorry, Doctor, but this information is vital.
Maybe his wife and brother can help you. They're in the hall.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, Steve, this is Mr. Torelli's wife, Maria.
How do you do, Mrs. Torelli?
And his younger brother, Tony. Tony, this is Steve Wilson, my boss.
Hello.
Tony, what do you make of this accident your brother had last night?
It wasn't an accident, Mr. Wilson.
Well, your brother says it was.
I don't blame him. He's afraid. Not for himself, but for Maria here and me. All his life he's looked out for me. All his life.
Well, Tony, I have an idea that you know who's responsible for this and why it was done. Don't you? Don't you? Now, look, you want to see the men who did this to your brother put where they belong? Who are they? What kind of a racket are they working on you on the poultry dealers?
No, I won't say anything unless...
Unless what?
Unless my brother dies.
All right, Tony. I know how you feel. But look, if you should change your mind and feel like talking, you can reach me at the Illustrated Press.
Mrs. Torelli.
Doctor. Yeah.
Luigi is asking for you, but be careful.
All right, Doctor.
Don't talk to him any more than you can help.
Oh, no, no, please. Mr. Wilson, don't come again. It only makes more trouble.
Doctor.
Yes?
Just what chance does Luigi Torelli stand to pull through this?
I'm afraid he hasn't got a chance. I've sent for Father Gillis.
Oh, Steve, how awful. Isn't there anything we can do, Doctor?
No. I'm afraid not.
Well, in that case, will you do something for me? Now, believe me, I'm
Doctor,
not...
come quick. Luigi's dying.
Oh, Luigi. Luigi mio. Don't leave me.
Perhaps you should wait, Mr. Wilson. Oh, Father Gillis, I'm glad you got here.
I came as quickly as I could, Doctor.
Oh, I feel so helpless. If there was only something we could do.
Yeah, there isn't much we can do for him, Lorelei. Now, here's a sample of how rackets work. They're real, real and heartbreaking. It's the little fellow who suffers the most, the small merchant around the corner.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Steve,
thy
hold my hand,
come.
Will you? Thanks.
Thy will be done.
I don't know when anything ever hit me so
on
hard.
Earth,
yes, I know, Lorelei.
As it is in
and to think that there are thousands of Luigi Torellis all over the country when they refuse to pay tribute to racketeers die by planned accidents.
And forgive us our
maybe I better go, Steve. Unless you think you need me.
Well, I might need you very much.
Tony! Tony, where do you go? What are you going to do?
Get back there. I'll get back.
He looks as if he's
something I must do.
No, no, stop it.
Tony, what do you want?
I think I know what's on your mind.
Let me go.
I know what you mean to do if you can, but it's suicide, Tony. You're not a gunman, not a killer. You can't fight a whole mob.
Well, maybe not, but I'm going. I'm going to kill a man. A man who killed my brother.
Now, wait a minute. Listen to reason. Even if you kill this man, he's only a pawn. You won't get the real murderer of your brother.
You can't stop me. Nobody can stop
Tony,
me.
Tony, listen to Mr. Wilson. He's trying to help you.
Did he bring my brother back?
Now, Tony, please.
Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Please get him.
Tony!
We've got to catch him, Steve.
No use. We can't stop him.
Come on, I've got a better idea. Hello? McNeil. Is Foots there with you? Oh, well, thank heavens. Put him on the wire, quick. Oh, Foots. Tony Torelli is out to get the man who killed his brother Luigi. Yeah, well, you know that territory like a book. Beat it down there fast and go into every hangout you can think of. You've got to get Tony Torelli and bring him back to my office. Well, no, you've got to find him. I'm coming right back to the paper.
You want some more coffee, Steve?
Oh, no. Thanks, Lorelei.
Oh, Steve, it's hopeless. Look, it's nearly daylight, and we haven't heard a word from Foots.
What time is it?
4:00. You must be dead. You've been all over town.
Well, you must be pretty tired yourself, Lorelei. You haven't had enough rest. What is that?
Someone's coming.
Well, Foots! Foots, that you?
Yes, Steve.
You all right, Foots?
Sure, I'm all right.
Well, where's Tony?
The police have him.
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't.
Well, where'd you find him?
I didn't.
Well, who did?
The cops.
Where?
In an alley.
Oh, my God. You don't mean he was...
Yeah, Steve.
How?
Shot. Shot in the back.
Oh.
With the murder of Tony Torelli, Steve finds himself up against a blank wall. Fear of a fate similar to the Torelli's has silenced every poultry dealer in town. But Steve refuses to acknowledge defeat. He has worked out another plan. And now, 10 days later, he is driving to the Torelli Market with Lorelei and Foots.
Come on now, step on it. Step on it, Foots. I told Maria Torelli I'd be at her shop by 5.
Okay, Steve. We'll make it with time to spare.
Steve.
Yes, Lorelei.
What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know yet, Lorelei. So far, I have run up against nothing but whispers, rumors, silence, and fear.
Did Maria give you a tip?
Oh, more than a tip. She's giving me a chance to be a poultry dealer.
What? You a poultry dealer?
Yes, I've had it all arranged with Maria for days. You're now looking at Sam Morgan from Chicago, Maria Torelli's partner.
Well, you certainly are in a rush to get to your new job.
I told Maria to phone me the minute the representative from the Protective Association turned up. I figured sooner or later they'd try to force her to join.
And have they?
Yes, half an hour ago.
Oh.
Maria told their, representative to come back in an hour and talk it over with her new partner.
But, Steve, what if they recognize you?
Lorelei, there's nobody more anonymous than the managing editor of a newspaper. That is, outside of his own colleagues.
We're almost there, Steve. What do you want me to do?
Let us out. And then drive down a half block and wait for us. I may want somebody tailed. If I do, I'll send Lorelei out to let you know.
Well, what'll I do in the meantime?
Well, you're coming in the shop, Lorelei, as a customer.
So this is it, boss. See you later.
Come on, Lorelei.
All right.
Oh, oh, Mr. Wilson, I was afraid you would not get here. This man, he will be back any minute.
Well, let's get back in your office, out of sight.
Yes, it is right back here.
All right, now, Maria, you haven't forgotten, I'm your partner.
No.
I'm running this business for you. Now, what's my name again?
Sam Morgan from Chicago.
Good girl. Now, Maria, you're sure you're not afraid, are you? You're sure that you don't want to join the Poultry Association and pay them to protect you from their own hoodlums?
No. I'm not afraid now. What more can they do to me? They kill my husband. They kill my brother-in-law, Tony.
All right, Maria. Now, I'll stay here in the office and wait. As soon as the association man arrives, you bring him back here and leave the rest to me, okay?
I understand. Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Yes?
I forget to tell you. Yesterday, a man, he wanted to buy my 3 shops.
Yes?
He only offered me half of what the shops are worth, so I tell him no. I no sell.
I see. Well, who was it? What was his name?
A man who say he represents Mr. Bellman.
Bellman? Well, Steve, he must be the Bellman that owns that whole chain of meat and poultry shops.
Hey, that gives me an idea. Look, Maria. You go out front, and if the association man comes, you stall him for a few minutes. We're going to make a phone call.
All right. I make him wait.
Lorelei, it's a natural. Hello? Hello, this is Steve Wilson. Give me McNeil. Lorelei, this may be a gift from the gods. Mac, listen, I want some dope, and I want to pass it straight. What stores are owned by J.R. Bellman? When did he buy them? What happened to the previous owners? No, you can't reach me. I'll call you back in an hour. Yeah, step on it.
Steve, what's your angle?
Well, yesterday, Bellman tries to buy Maria's shops for a song.
Yes.
She refuses. And today, the Protective Association comes to call. Coincidence, maybe, but worth checking.
Mr. Morgan. The man from the association is here.
Oh, just a minute. Lorelei, you beat it out that back door and come in front as a customer.
All right.
All right, Mrs. Torelli, show him in.
Good afternoon, Mr. Morgan. Glad I caught you in this time. I'm Ed Davis of the Big Town Poultry Dealers Protective Association. I understand you're Mrs. Torelli's partner now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't want to waste a lot of time there, so I'll come right to the point, Mr. Morgan. The Torellis never saw their way clear to join the Protective Association, but I can see you're a businessman. You'll want to belong.
Well, just what are the benefits by becoming a member?
Oh, we can make everything very easy for you. Everything you need in your business, you'll find right in our organization. Why, we furnish men to unload the cars, trucks to haul your livestock, and furnish the crates you use. We even provide the livestock for you to buy, which is a big asset in itself. And all it costs is $2 a week for dues.
And what do the labor and trucks cost?
Oh, just a few cents more, but you want the best, don't you?
Yes, what about the crates?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
Oh, no, nothing at all. We don't sell the crates. We just rent them to you.
Oh, how much?
Only 85 cents, and you get 15 cents back when you finish with it.
But I can build a crate for 12 cents.
Well, you might be able to at that. But our crates are awfully good. In fact, they're so good, we've passed a rule that all the members have to use them.
Yes, but doesn't all this make the price of chickens high?
Well, what of it? You don't have to pay it. You pass it on to your customers.
Oh, I see. Well, so that's what you have to offer.
That's it, Mr. Morgan. A complete service.
Well, Mr. Davis, thank you very much for this little talk, but I'm not interested.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't be hasty. You'd better take a little time to think it over.
No. I don't need any time, Mr. Davis. I'm not joining.
I see. Maybe I haven't made myself quite clear. I merely stressed the advantages of belonging to the association. I have a couple of assistants out in the shop. They might be able to impress you with the disadvantages of not belonging. Mr. Williamson, Mr. Benedict, would you mind stepping this way, please?
Right here. What's up? You need us?
Yes, Mr. Morgan isn't impressed with my side of our story. I think you gentlemen better explain yours. Good evening, Mr. Morgan. Glad to have met you.
Well, gentlemen, what's on your mind?
Now listen, Morgan, we'll lay it right in the line for you. Sir Davis told you how nice it was to be one of our members. We'll tell you how it is if you ain't.
Yes, now, wait a minute. Suppose I tell you. First, you break up my fixtures. That it? Maybe you'll poison a shipment of poultry or hijack a load. If that doesn't work, you'll go to work on me personally. If I still won't play ball, you'll try something more convincing, something like murder. Am I right?
Hey, Red, this guy knows the right answers.
Yeah, Muggsy. Hey, listen, Morgan, maybe you think we're bluffing. Maybe you ain't been told, being from out of town, just what happened to the guys who used to run this joint. Or maybe you don't read the papers.
No, suppose you tell me, Muggsy, just what did happen.
Well, I heard that one of the brothers, Luigi, kind of stepped in the way of a car. Accidental-like. And I think I read someplace where the other brother, he got a slug in the back. Out of a gun with a silencer. Poor fella. They say he never knew what hit him. Too bad, ain't it? Well, so long, wise guy. They'll be around to call soon. Come on, Red.
Shot in the back with a gun equipped with a silencer. Gun with a silencer.
Then what are you talking about?
Lorelei, it's breaking. You know, that Muggsy. The guy in the brown suit.
What?
Well, get back out there and tell Putz to tail him. Never mind the other one. Tell Putz to tail Muggsy to where he lives and then phone the office.
Well, what's it all
Never
about?
Never mind. Do as I ask you. I'm going to the office right now. Wish Futz would call. Things are going too fast. Well, McNeil, what about Bellman? Have you got that dope?
Listen, Steve. He's chairman of the Christmas Turkey Club. You know, they give out a few thousand baskets each year.
Yes, and he has that boy's summer camp, hasn't he? Yeah, but that doesn't interest me. I want to know about the... that is, if he has acquired any stores recently.
Yes, three.
Well, did you get the list of members of the Poultry Dealers Association?
Yes, and you know, Steve, I just happened to check, and not one of the owners of the last three stores he bought were members of the association.
Well, that's all I want to know, McNeil.
Well, here's the report.
Thanks. What is it?
Put this on the wire, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, hello? Yeah? Oh, good. Wait a minute. 14 Center Street. Alone, huh? Well, great. You stay there. Look, if he leaves, you keep after him. I'm on my way with a couple of the boys from the circulation department. Wait a minute. Where's Lorelei? Oh, with you, huh? Well, I might have known it. Well, keep her out of the way. I don't want her around when we corner Muggsy and go to work on him. There may be fireworks.
Steve, Muggsy's in that room at the head of the stairs. He's alone, and I think we can take him without any trouble if we move fast.
Yes, you can grab a rattlesnake by the head, too, if you're quick enough. Now, how are we going to get him out of that room?
Well, let me see. We could...
Now, wait a minute. I've got an idea. See that table at the head of the stairs with the pitcher on it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll knock it over and see what happens.
Right.
Now, listen, you gents.
What do you want us to do?
Go upstairs and plant yourselves on both sides of that door. The fellow comes out of the room and I knock over that table, jump him. If he has a gun, smack it out of his hand.
Okay, Mr. Wilson. I brought along a piece of lead pipe.
Do you want him out cold or on the hoof?
No. Don't knock him out if he can help it. I want to save him for a little heart-to-heart talk. All right, now. Get going.
Okay, come on, Jim.
What about me, Steve?
You better wait here at the foot of the stairs and keep an eye out for Lorelei. She'll probably pop inch if she hears any shooting.
She's in the car. Watch your step, Steve.
Come on now and be quiet. Okay, let her go.
Hey, what's the idea?
All right.
Take him in that room, boys. First
thing. Come on, you.
Yeah.
What's the idea? Hey, what's going on? Who are you guys?
Oh, Mugsy, don't you remember me?
Morgan.
Yeah.
You're the guy that was in Torelli's butcher shop.
Shut up, boy.
I get it. A copper, eh?
Well, it doesn't matter who I am.
What do you want? You ain't got nothing on me.
Well, you'd be surprised, Mugsy. I've got this gun of yours with a silencer. When I turn it over to the police and they check it against the bullet that killed Tony Torelli, you'll burn, and you know it.
You're a liar. That's a frame-up, a plant.
Leave me socking, boss. Let me and Jim work.
No, you can't do that. You ain't got a right to do that to me.
Well, you're a fine specimen of two-legged snake to be talking about rights, anybody's rights. You'll talk quick and talk fast. The only question is, do you talk the easy way or the hard way? Now, do you want to save your hide or do you want the chair?
Who tipped you off? Who's been double-crossing me?
Well, a man hired you to kill someone. The man who hired you isn't safe till he put you out of the way.
Oh, no, the big boss wouldn't do that. He's a square shooter.
We know you're the killer that got Tony with this gun. We'll prove it beyond a doubt, and you'll fry for it. Yes, what about the man who hired you? He'll get off free, scot-free, unless you...
Unless what?
Well, unless you turn state's evidence. Now, you've got to confess. Plead guilty. Give the DA the name of the man who paid you to pull the trigger on Tony Torelli. The man who paid you to run over Luigi Torelli. It was Bellman.
Oh, you know, then. You know he's a big boss.
Yes, we know a lot more.
All right. All right, you got me dead to rights. I ain't no dope. Bellman's my boss. He paid me a bonus for the Torelli jobs.
How much?
$50.
$50. Well, times must be hard in the murder racket. Too much competition. Used to be 500. Never mind that. You're coming with us.
Where? What for?
Call on your boss to talk to Bellman.
No, you'll kill me. He'll have some of the boys get me even in jail.
Oh, no, he won't. After tonight, he'll be behind bars himself, and so will all his boys.
Look, I'll sign a confession, but I won't go.
No, you're going with me to Bellman. Pull him, boys. I want to make a call. What's Bellman's number, Mike?
I ain't telling.
What's the number, punk?
Quit twisting my arm. It's Overdale, 783.
Operator. Get me Overdale, 783. Yes, that's right. Oh, say, Bellman does live in the suburbs. Hello, is Mr. Bellman in? Oh, hello, Mr. Bellman. This is Steve Wilson. Yes, that's right, Illustrated Press. Well, I'm glad I caught you in. Say, I've just left a meeting of the Big Town Citizens Council, and your name was mentioned for chairman of the Civic Improvement League. Yes. Yes, I know, but this was a special meeting, and I'd like to come out and talk to you about it. Yes, right away. Look, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring two other members of the committee with me. Oh, well, fine. Right away, then. You're in Overdale. What's the address? Oh, Sycamore Road. Good. Sycamore Road, eh? Well, what a coincidence. In the early days of Big Town, they used to hang men like Bellman from the sycamore trees of Overdale. Do you know that, Mugsy? Well, boys, you're now members of the Big Town Civic Improvement Committee. Come on. Well, this fire feels good. Oh, you have a lovely home, Mr. Bellman. Tennis court, swimming pool. Yes, fine library full of priceless editions. I certainly envy you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Now, about this Civic Improvement Committee.
Well, are you interested?
Oh, of course. Naturally, anything I can do to make Big Town a better place for people to live in.
Yes, I've always known that.
But what about the members of the committee? I thought they were coming with you.
Oh, well, they're right outside, Mr. Bellman. I just wanted to make sure you would be in a position to accept the proposition we want to present to you.
Oh, I see. Who are these men? Do I know any of them?
Oh, yes, you know one of them. As a matter of fact, he's a business associate of yours.
Business associate?
Yes. I'll have them come right in, and we'll get right down to cases. All right, gentlemen, bring him in.
Come on.
Our society has Miss Gilburn, Mr. Bellman. All right, Mugsy, get in here.
Yeah, all right. What's the point?
Yes, Mugsy, I want you to meet a fellow member of the Big Town Civic Improvement Committee.
Mr. Bellman, one of our leading citizens.
What is this, Wilson? A joke? Who's this hoodlum?
Oh, I see you recognize his type.
Hiya, Bellman. So you fell for Wilson's gag. You're not as smart as I thought you were.
What's the big idea, Wilson? Who is this man? I never saw him before in my life.
Now, it's no use, Bellman. We've got you dead to rights. You know, Muggsy doesn't like the idea of going to the chair for the murder of the two Torelli boys and the other little odd jobs he performed for you. So he's taking his chances when we turn him over to the DA. Muggsy is turning state's evidence against you, and that makes him a charter member of the Civic Improvement League. Better get your hat, Bellman. You're going to the DA's office to do your share. You're going to give him the names of that bunch of strong-arm salesmen you're using to organize the Poultry Dealers Protective Association.
Oh, so you've got it all figured out. All wrapped up. Signed, sealed, and delivered, have you, Wilson?
Now, don't go near that desk. There might happen to be a gun on that door, and if you try to get it, you might get hurt.
Don't be a fool, Wilson. You have nothing to connect me with this poultry racket. Nothing but the unsupported statement of a small-time killer. With a record as long as your arm.
Keep on talking, Bellman, but keep away from that desk.
What right have you got to come here and accuse me? Now get out!
No, you don't. Bellman?
Steve, he's got a notebook in his
hand. Look out, Steve. He's trying to put it in the fire. Hey, I got him. Get that notebook out of his hand.
Hey, hold on, Putz. Give me that book, Bellman. Give it to me.
Let go of that book, Bellman, or I'll smack you.
Oh, never mind. I got it. Well, well, no wonder you wanted to destroy this, Bellman. Well, this is it. The whole case wrapped up in a neat leather-bound book. Or I'll get on that phone, call the DA. Tell him to hot-foot it out here as quickly as you can.
Okay, Steve, it's practically done.
All right, Bellman, now you don't have to talk. This little black book will do your talking for you. Sick Town's got a lot to thank you for. With this little book to guide them, the police will have rounded up every one of your thugs before morning, and the Poultrymen's Protective Association will be washed up. Oh, yes, and as a reward, Big Town will give you a free trip to the state penitentiary.
Hello? Hello, is this Mr. Miller? Oh, just a minute, please. Steve Wilson calling. Here you are, Steve.
Oh, okay. Hello, Miller. Listen, I've got the dope on the whole poultry gang. Names, addresses, and phone numbers. Well, you can round them up in an hour. Yeah, and I've got Tony Torelli's killer right here. Sycamore Road. Yes, I'll give you Big Town's leading citizen, J.R. Bellman, in person, with my compliments. Well, that'll pull the feathers out of the poultry racket.
Big Town, on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from August 14th, 1938, on CBS. This would be screen actor Edward G. Robinson's biggest radio triumph in terms of a regular series. In 1938, he was heard on Big Town exclusively except for two programs, one called America Calling, which was in honor of National Rededication Day of the Bill of Rights. The other was the Lux Radio Theater, where he co-starred alongside Joan Bennett in an adaptation of a boxing motion picture, Kid Galahad. Boxers Jack Dempsey and Gene Tooney were also heard in that episode from December of 1938. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Counter Spy with the story Hot Car Killer, an ABC episode from September 15th, 1949.
Pepsi-Cola presents Counter Spy. Counter-spy.
Harding, counter-spy. Calling Washington.
United States counter-spies. Especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad. Tonight, the case of the Hot Car Killer. Another counter-spy report to the American people. Brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola hits a spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot.
And now to counter-spy. A bright, brisk fall afternoon. Around the dirt track roar a dozen low-slung racing cars. Sudden death, an added passenger in every one. Axles brush on the straightaways. Tires scream as they skid on turns, then straighten out again. A man wearing the armband of an official of the track runs to the pit of car number 18.
Hey, you!
Yeah?
Are you the mechanic of car 18, driver Joe Stacy?
What's the matter?
This is an official order. Flag him down.
Pull him out. He's like the wave.
I said stop him. Now, he's just coming in the straightway. Here's your flag. Use it.
Okay. Here he comes.
Hey, track will not tolerate dangerous, irresponsible drivers like you. We are hereby forbidding you to finish this race. And we're going to see to it that you're barred from every other track in the country. Now get yourself and your car out of here in a hurry.
Holy smoke, Joe. What are you going to do now?
It's no problem, Mitch. Back in New York, my future's all taken care of. I got a wonderful, beautiful connection there. With red hair.
Hello?
Hello, honey. It's Joe Stacy. I'm calling you from Chicago.
Joe, darling, as if I didn't know. You coming to New York?
I gotta, Laura. I've been bounced off the tracks for good.
Oh, Joe.
After I take a good long look at you, I'm gonna need eating money. You got any ideas?
Sure, Joe. I'm a business career woman now.
What?
I'm a secretary. Private secretary to a corporation. The corporation is 5'8", 150 pounds with gray hair and a big fat bank account.
So how do I fit in?
Leave that to me, Joe. I'll get you a job with my corporation. I'm going over to his apartment now. Joe, it's a penthouse with overstuffed chairs, soft as marshmallows, and a view of New York. There's only one real trouble with the job. He keeps playing a certain phonograph record again and again and again.
Laura, you've been staring out of that window for an hour.
The view always fascinates me, Mr. Brewster.
Maybe you'd rather be down there among those lights with some younger man. Like the one you asked me to hire?
I'm your secretary, Mr. Brewster. Besides, young men bore me. To be with or to work for.
Well, how lucky for me. I should hate losing you as a secretary.
You will, Mr. Brewster, if you don't stop that phonograph sometime.
Very well. I play that music constantly, Laura, because the orchestra was playing it the night you and I first met. Haven't you any such memories? With Joe Stacy, for instance?
I live in the present, not the past. Mr. Brewster, the warning buzzer. Someone's coming up in the elevator.
Suppose you let them up for me just this once, huh?
I don't know how.
On my desk there.
Yes?
The first button is the intercom to the elevator. Press it. That stops the warning buzzer. Now you can talk to whoever's in the elevator while it's held on the floor below. That intercom box on the left.
Yes. Yes? Who is it?
George Lesage. Mr. Brewster's expecting me.
Oh, yes, Lesage. We're bringing you up. Now what, Mr. Brewster?
The button on the right starts the elevator again to bring him here to the top floor.
I see. Why is that junk dealer coming here?
Because he and I have a little surprise for you. Come in, Lesage.
Evening, Mr. Brewster. Hello, Miss Montpere.
Hello.
Yeah, I brought the latest batch of papers for you, Mr. Brewster.
All in good order?
Yep, ownership papers of 6 total wrecks I bought in from my junkyard. 2 Buicks, a Chevy, a Ford, 2 Pontiacs, all from the West.
Well, all plentiful models and relatively easy to steal. Fine.
As soon as the cars come in, I can turn them over to you and your used car salesman. Say in a week, huh?
Mr. Brewster, I think it's dangerous to mix all those stolen cars with your ordinary used cars in your sales room.
Hey, that's the laugh, Miss Montclair. The smartest cover-up that was ever in this racket. Hot cars cooled off. Okay, Mr. Brewster, that cleans me up here. I'm on my way.
Lesage, instead of your going to the ferry now, you go to your garage and wait there. I'll keep that appointment.
Ah, okay.
Laura, the elevator release button, please.
Good night, Miss Montclair.
Good night.
Good night.
Mr. Brewster, you didn't tell me the surprise you and Lesage had for me.
I've decided to take your childhood friend, Joe Stacy, into my organization. Bring in stolen cars from other cities.
Oh. Oh, then he's the one who's coming in on the ferry. And instead of Lesage, you're going to meet him yourself, is that it?
I'm curious about him, Laura. An old friend who so fortunately turned out to be an expert car thief and driver. Now tell me, what's the quickest way for me to get to that ferry?
Now, mister, you got a light?
I think so. Stacy?
Yeah, Lesage.
No. I'm Andrew Brewster.
Boss himself, huh?
You the car?
Second in line.
You were instructed to be first.
A truck cut out in front of me.
I thought you were a former racing driver.
Lay off, Brewster.
Oh, yeah. Laura Montclair said you were touchy about having been ruled off the track.
Well, I am.
You'll find we'll get along if you carry out instructions, Stacy.
And if you don't shoot your mouth off.
When you leave the ferry, drive to the garage at 816 East 28th Street. Pick up Lesage. Proceed to his junkyard in New Jersey.
Okay. What's Lesage look like?
Oh, about your height. With an untidy black mustache.
When do I see you again, Brewster?
This will be our only meeting.
Why this one?
Laura talks so highly of you. I wonder why.
Curious, Brewster? Or jealous?
As you so picturesquely put it, Stacy, lay off. I'm a trifle touchy myself.
Hello?
Miss Montclair. Lesage talking. Give me Brewster.
He hasn't returned from his ferry trip.
Listen, I went back to my garage like Brewster told me and found my assistant hired a new guy. And I spotted him for a cop.
What?
I cleared out to make this call. The cop is there now and you gotta head Joe Stacy off. Can you do it?
No, I can't. It's too late. He must be at the garage right now.
Lesage! Hey, Lesage!
All right, you. Come on out of that car.
You, Lesage?
Yeah. Come on out of that car. Come on.
Where's your mustache, Lesage?
Never mind that. Come out.
Not a chance, copper. This is for you.
To Harry Peters. Meet me at airport in exactly half an hour. We're flying to New York. Peters, you saw the message about the murder of Detective Jerry Winters.
Yes, Dave, but I didn't know what to make of it.
Read this letter, Peters. Winters' division chief. Teletype it in.
Dear Chief, I'm scribbling this in a hurry in a cheap boarding house since I may not get a chance to write again. I've made a connection that may get me a job in a garage that's a transfer point for that interstate stolen car racket we're investigating with the counter-spies. I'll know details tonight and we'll report. Signed, Jerry Winters. When'd you get this, Dave?
This morning, right after the notice from New York of his murder. He must have gotten the job.
Then been covered so closely, he couldn't even make a phone call.
Yeah. The New York police are covering every angle they can hit. The first thing we'll do is fine-tooth comb that garage.
Employees of this garage. They all swear that if there was anything crooked going on here, they didn't know a thing about it.
How about the owner?
His name is George Lesage, but they say they rarely see him, and nobody knows where he might be right now. How are you making out?
Well, I've been working with the examination crew. Take a look at this concrete pillar, Peter.
The concrete gouged out about 2 feet up from the floor. Looks as if a car cracked into it.
Yes, and one of the employees I talked to earlier said it must have happened during the night.
But how does that help us?
Well, take a look at it through this pocket magnifier.
Flecks of paint. 2 colors.
Benson of the examination crew says some of the flecks are of brown paint over a year old.
And these other flecks of light blue paint with a top coat, a freshly repainted car.
And that's one of the first steps of an efficient hot car outfit, Peters, to give the stolen cars a quick repaint. Somewhere there's a car with a dented fender, brown paint underneath, blue paint over it. I want to put out a fast bulletin and find that car.
Mr.
Mr. Brewster, I'm waiting for you and Lesage to tell me how you're going to help Joe Stacy.
Miss Montclair, Stacy's safe in my junkyard over in Jersey.
Besides, Laura, he sounds like a man who helps himself.
I introduced him to you, Mr. Brewster. He killed a detective to protect your racket. You've got to help him.
On his account?
On yours. And mine.
I wonder if I can afford to have a cop killer in my organization.
What are you getting at?
Sage, remember what happened to Whitey? Driving along a mountain road, his car went over the side of a cliff. Accidentally. Laura.
I won't help you, Mr. Brewster.
Laura, my dear, Stacy knows and trusts you. You're going to invite him for a ride with the Sage tomorrow. You brought him into our organization. It's only fitting that you help him leave it.
Take it easy. These mountain roads are tricky.
Quit worrying, Lesage.
But you had a few drinks.
Looks like I can drive with my eyes shut.
Maybe, Joe, but I wouldn't like to be with you when you try it. Why don't we pull over for a while?
Anything you say, baby.
What a wonderful view. Doesn't that train look small from up here? Like a toy.
You know, a guy could go over this cliff easy in a car. That wooden rail wouldn't hold a weak flea.
You're some kidder, Joe.
Put up your hands, Lesage.
What is this?
It means you're going to have the accident that you and Brewster cooked up for me.
Laura, you're double-crossing Brewster, and he's stuck on you.
I'm not stuck on him, Lesage. I take his nonsense now so I can take a lot of his money later. All right, Joe.
Listen, give me a chance. Give me a break.
Give it to him, Joe.
No.
Quick, Joe. Put your identification papers in his pocket.
Okay, baby.
Be sure you get everything that identifies him as George Lesage.
Papers, wristwatch, wallet, picture of a kid.
Never mind that. Pour the whiskey over his clothes.
Smell like a saloon.
Hurry, he's coming too. Start the engine. Can you get the car over the cliff alone? I don't want my fingerprints on it.
What about mine?
The more prints there are of you, the surer the police will be it was you that crashed.
Okay, baby, now you get out.
Be careful, Joe.
I'll start her into a skid. I'm good at that. Then jump.
Keep that door open.
Right.
Hurry before another car comes along.
Take it easy, baby.
Jump, Joe!
Coming. There she goes.
Still interested in the bright lights down there, Laura?
There's a ghost dancing among them now, Mr. Brewster.
I know it was difficult for you, Laura. But it was Stacy or me. I had no choice.
Neither did I. As you so often said yourself, we're in a tough racket, aren't we?
Dave, Washington reported yet on Joe Stacy?
Yes, but the fingerprints on the body in that smashed car were not those of Joe Stacy.
Who then?
George Lesage.
Lesage? Well, that's the man we were looking for. He owned the garage where Detective Winters was murdered.
That's right, murdered by Joe Stacy.
Stacy, how do you figure?
Now, somebody took a great deal of trouble to make us think Stacy was dead, and that would suit Stacy very well. Besides, look at his record.
Racing driver ruled off the tracks for dangerous and crooked driving. Hold up charge, suspended sentence, assaulting an officer, 30 days. A bad boy.
Yes, but it's hardly probable a hothead like Stacy's the boss of the entire racket, nor that Lesage was. We're looking for the top man, Peters, and Stacy might lead you to him.
Lead me to him?
You're going undercover, Peters, to locate Stacy. Then we can set a trap.
Joe, I'm worried.
Now, what about, baby?
I don't think it's safe for us to meet in such a public place.
I got this tablet in my pocket. Besides, this new mustache is sprouting. And the papers are full of pictures of the wreck. I got killed 2 days ago, remember?
Joe, Brewster will be wanting to see Lesage soon, and then there are the other men.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah, Marty.
Pete Williams in the back room. He says you expect him.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Marty.
Joe. Who's Pete Williams?
Oh, he's a guy I met last night right here. The bar, he starts shooting off his mouth about racing drivers. He got into a little argument. It turns out to be an all right guy. He's in the same racket.
You sure he's all right?
Yeah, he knows a lot of the same people I do out in KC. You go on over to Bruce's apartment, baby. I'll call you later, huh?
Okay. So long, honey.
Hello, Pete.
I got a tip for a guy.
What guy?
Guy named Joe Stacy.
Joe Stacy's dead. I read it in the papers.
If he isn't already, maybe he's gonna be.
What's the tip?
The finger's getting put on him.
By?
His boss.
For what?
The tip I got says the boss already figured out it wasn't Joe Stacy in that wreck, but a bird named George Lesage. He figures it was Stacy that did it.
How do you know?
That boss has been trying to contact a couple of trigger men from Chicago.
Why are you telling me?
I hate hot tips to go to waste.
Where can I reach you later? See you in about an hour.
Tell me where you want me to be.
What's the matter with here?
What did you do? Phone me?
I'll come back and get you. Keep sober, Pete.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello, honey. It's Joe. Listen, you were right to be leery of that guy, Pete Williams, who tried to caper on me.
What caper?
Well, he tells me Brewster caught onto the wreck business. He's out hiring guys to take care of me. What a jerk, huh?
Jerk? How do you figure?
Well, honey, if Brewster caught on already, you'd know about it, wouldn't you? Well, wouldn't you?
I've been thinking, Joe. I've got a scheme for us to get rid of Brewster, get some dough, and take care of your friend, Pete. Tonight, all at once.
Dave, Peters, I've landed Stacy.
Good work. Did he reveal who the boss is?
No, but he's pulling me in on his scheme of revenge on the boss. We're going to hold him up. Then Stacy plans to kill him.
Well, I'll be close behind you with one of our mobile squads. We'll break it up in time.
Well, it may not be easy, Dave. The boss lives in a penthouse and has some tricky system to control the elevator. Stacy's girlfriend is going to double-cross the boss and let us in.
Then you'll have to find some way of letting us in.
What time was that, Mr. Brewster?
11. You seem restless, Laura. Bored with your job?
Mr. Brewster, believe me, I was never less bored with it.
Someone's in the elevator. I'm not expecting anyone. I'll find out who it is.
Brewster, stay away from that intercom.
Laura, what's the meaning of that gun?
Push the power button.
Laura...
Push that power button.
As you say.
Sit down by the desk.
Laura, what is the meaning of this?
Shut up!
Hello, Brewster.
Stacy.
In the flesh.
I thought you were dead. Laura told
me. Cut the act, Brewster. I know about the hood you were trying to get to rub me out.
Rub you out? I tell you, I thought you were dead.
You're lying, Brewster.
Stacy, who is this other man?
Pete Williams. The guy who put the finger on you for putting the finger on me.
Now, this man is tricking you, I swear.
Listen, Brewster.
Wait. Maybe Brewster's telling the truth. Maybe Pete is. That's what we're going to find out. Meantime, I'm holding the gun. Pete.
Yeah?
In the right-hand drawer of the desk, the combination of the safe.
Okay.
Safe?
Yeah, Brewster, we're taking a little trip. You're staying here.
Laura, you can't leave me for this cheap thug.
Quiet.
Laura, here's the combination.
Take it, Joe. Open the safe.
Where is it?
Behind that picture over there on the wall.
Okay.
Now I can turn that music off for good.
Laura, what's that?
The buzzer. Someone's in the elevator.
What?
Look out, Bruce is going for the bus.
Pete, I gotta shoot. Get out of the way.
I'll get him. Two ladies pushed it. The elevator's coming up.
Laura, how do we get out?
Back exit to the roof. Come on, Pete, you too.
Now, don't be suckers and run. How do you know who it is?
What?
He's right, Joe. We'll play innocent. Whoever it is, we invite him. Then we put him to sleep.
Good girl.
Put away your gun, Laura.
Yeah. You, Joe, get by the elevator.
Right. Now, hold everything.
There's nobody in the elevator.
It's a trick.
Hold everything, all of you. Counter spies. Don't move or we shoot.
What?
All right, boys. Cover every door and window. Okay, boys. You all right, Peter?
Yes, Mr. Harding. But I wish I'd known you were coming in from the terrace.
Looks like a good haul you made.
This is Joe Stacy, murderer. About ready to have a stroke.
You lousy chick.
Joe, shut up.
And this, I take it, is the girlfriend.
Not yours, copper. Take your hands off me.
Gladly, after I get these handcuffs on you.
And here, out cold, behind the desk, Mr. Harding, the big fish. Andrew Brewster. Used car dealer and hot car racketeer.
Peters, he looks so peaceful, I almost hate to wake him up and give him all the bad news he's got coming to him. But on second thought, I think it'll be a real pleasure. Let's get to it, Peters.
When your friends drop in, be generous, but be thrifty, too. Serve plenty of delicious Pepsi-Cola. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, same station, to Counter Spy.
Counter Spy, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 15th, 1949 on ABC. Wrapping up this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.